Absolutely amazing. Sorry, Drian, Elaine, sorry. They're going to cut the mic soon, but here we go. There we go. Make sure you know who's in control of sound. That's very important. It's been an absolute privilege just being with you guys this weekend. We've got to know a couple of you guys, and it's been incredible. We've personally have been staying with the best hosts in Azefontein. We won't mention names, Anton and Ingeline, but it's been and honestly, it feels like home. You know, I do travel quite a bit around the world. I just came back from America, stayed with Josh Jen San Clemente crew and Josh Jen Newport crew. And it felt like this. It's incredible. It's incredible to think that across the oceans, we've got family members and people that think the way we think, believe the way we believe, serve God the way we serve God. And not that we're special, because there's nothing special about us. The only thing special about us is Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us. And we want to build church and want to do church the way that God has said we need to do it in his word. And that's what makes us different. You know, that is what makes us different. And for me this morning, just coming, you know, here, it's been an interesting one for me. I normally like sort of know what God wants to do. Then I go this way. Okay, Lord, do you want to say this? Do you want to say that? And this morning, the Lord just dropped something in my heart for us as part of Azefontein. And like Mike said, we've been here. I've been here a couple of times, but we know so many of you. And I really want you to open your hearts wide to hear what God's saying this morning. Because I think for me that what Uncle Henry picked up on this morning, something feels like it's doing this in the spirit realm. And you know what it is? Not because, again, we're not special. It's because we're wanting to follow the Lord. And if we do things the way God wants us to do it, unless the Lord builds his house, whatever we do is worthless. The Bible says it's in vain. We might as well pack up shop and go and like rather go sit on the beach. It's way better than trying to do something out of our own. Because flesh gives birth to flesh and it dies. But the spirit gives birth to spirit and there's life. There's fountains, there's rivers, there's joy, there's gladness. And that's what we're after. We want to build a house for the Lord that's full of him. And you know that you play such an important part. And this morning I want to unpack something for us. Before I get done into too much preaching mode, I did feel this morning for us to look at an important scripture where the Bible speaks about run your race. You know that you've got a race to run. So the title of my message this morning is Run Your Race. The day you got born, you got entered into a race, whether you like it or not. That day you started running. You know, not physically, because as you can see, I'm a supreme athlete. I won't say in what sport, but you know. So, but if you look at Nathan, he's an athlete. he's an athlete. And some of you guys, some of you guys run. Anton runs about 7Ks every morning. What is it like? You know, Anton runs around the block and then he kicks it under the bed and then he goes back to bed. I'm just joking. But we're in a race. And the day for many of us that we gave our hearts to the Lord, that race became even more important. And I want to start off with a scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22 to 27. Paul writing it to the church in Corinth, and he says, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." And isn't that a beautiful heart? Whatever it is, God, if I need to become weak so that those that are weak might find you and being saved, I'll do that. Paul even wrote once, he said, "God, I'm willing to go to hell for someone to be saved." How incredible is that? You know, it's a scary thought. Go find it in the Bible, because I don't know where it is right now, but it is in the Bible. Okay, so to the weak, I became weak. And then he says, "I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessing." And then he jumps to this portion that we want to look at. "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath or a crown, or what the Greek Olympians had. But we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. And you just get this picture of Paul writing to a church during a time. And you know what he was writing about? The Olympic Games. How crazy is that? You know, this year is the Olympic Games starting in July. I think it's about the 24th of July, Olympic Games are starting. But Paul was referencing here the Olympic Games. Back then, the Olympic Games, it took place in Greece every 4 years without interruptions from 767 BC. So 700 years before Jesus was born, the Olympic Games started. And it actually went on till the year AD 393. So for about just over 1,700 years, the Olympic Games was happening in Greece. The Corinth, the region where they were in, they understood the Olympic Games. So that's why Paul is referencing that. So when you watch Olympic Games, think about this. And he's using a picture. Why does Paul do that? Just like what Jesus did. Using everyday things that we see to say, hey, there's a spiritual connection here and spiritually what we need to do. So for us, like looking at the Olympic Games this year, think about that. You know, look at these athletes and what these people are going through, what they're training for the last 4 years to be able to compete. And I want to quickly tell you an incredible story about the Olympic Games. A guy from Tanzania, his name was John Stephen Akwari. So if you've never heard of John Stephen Akwari, you're going to hear about him now. He took part in the Mexico Olympic Games in 1968. He was a marathon runner. So marathon runners, they run 42 kilometers. That is what this marathon is all about. And he was actually one of the three guys that were set to win this race. So he started off his race, started running at about 19 kilometers. There was a lot of jostling. Who of you have seen those crazy marathons? They jostle and it's the pack. And you can just imagine this guy running his race, and all of a sudden, he got tripped and he fell. As he fell, he literally dislocated his leg, his knee. Maybe that's where the knee thing comes from. But yeah, dislocated his knee, and his leg was bleeding. So much so that the medics during that day said, listen, you've got to stop running the race. You can't run the race. He kept on running the race. He just kept on going, limping. You can imagine trying to run another 26 kilometers, trying to run now. He's in the Olympics. This is what he's lived his life for. He's given himself. He's beaten his body. He's trained. He just keeps on going. He finishes an hour and a half after everybody else, comes over the line. And as that happens, as he comes into the stadium, because they run outside of the stadium, then they come into the stadium, there's a crowd of people looking at him and started standing and just giving him an ovation. Coming in, limping in, eventually gets over the line. A media, and back in 68, there wasn't TV cameras like what we've got now. So the footage, you can actually go see it. There is some footage of it on YouTube. And comes over the line, and the reporters rushed to him and said, what are you doing? What happened? And these were his words. He said, I never thought of stopping. Never thought of stopping. My country did not send me 17,000 kilometers to start that race. They sent me to finish it. It's not how we start the race. It is that we finish our race. You have got a race to run. And you're in the race. You have started the race. But how are you going to finish this race? And that is the most important. Some of us, if you look around the room, some of us are quite far in the race. Yeah, how do you know that? When you look in the mirror, your hair's a little bit of a different color shade of blonde. I'm getting that already, you know. I'm starting to see these little beautiful blonde, grayish, beautiful hair coming through, you know. I don't know, some of us are only starting. Got my daughter here, she's 13. In a sense, she's starting a race. Got a whole race instead ahead of her. Some of us on this race have tripped. Some of us have fallen. Some of us are on our race. Don't stop your race. Don't stop. Finish the race that you have started. Maybe for some of us, we haven't even started this spiritual race called Christianity, living like Jesus wants us. And maybe this morning could be a morning where you start your race. So, but know that each one of us, we have got a race that we need to finish. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, Paul writes as an old man, that beautiful gray hair that I just spoke about, this was Paul. He actually writes in 2 Timothy, he says, I know my time is close. He sensed it. He was about to die. And these were his words. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that is the words that I want to be able to say one day. Lord, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. And I have kept my faith. I've kept my faith. Because don't be deceived. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And when he comes, each one of us will stand in front of him. And he's going to say, how have you run your race? Have you kept the faith? Have you fought the fight? And each one of us will give an account of how we lived our lives. And on that day, it's going to be a terrible day. Some of us will be full of joy, full of thanks, because we know we followed the Lord. We did what he wanted us to do. Some of us will stand on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did I not heal the sick in your name? Did I not raise the dead in your name? Did I not prophesy even in your name? The Bible says that many will stand of him in front of that one day, and he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And that's a scary thought. That's such a scary thought. So no matter what I do, I say, Lord, do I know you? Do I have a personal relationship with you? Do I walk with you every day, not living my life the way I want to live it, not doing the things that I want to do, but I'm following you, Jesus, in everything that you're wanting to do. And this morning, I want to give us some handles on how do we run our race. What are those things that we need? And there's a lot, but I just want to build out three or four of them on how we can run our race and be able to stand in front of him one day when he's there and say, God, I have run my race. I have fought my fight and I've kept my faith. Amen. So let's turn to a scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. And this is sort of the basis of what I'm wanting to build out for us. So if we can read this together quickly. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and so easily to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a race set out before us, the Bible says. And how do we run this race? Firstly, take off or lay aside sin or weight that bogs us down. Isn't that what sin does? Sin does that. Sin gives birth to sin, the Bible says. It takes hold of our heart. It takes hold of our lives. One sin leads to another sin. Eventually, you are so buckled under sin that you can't even run the race. This is what the Bible is talking about. Sin grips you. Sin trips you up. Sin is a weight that you're carrying, like an anchor that you're pulling the whole time. Get rid of sin in your life. It's a decision. It's a choice you make. And I felt this morning as I was preparing, what are those sins that are tripping you up? That's just in your life. The cycles that you're going through. I can't break free of this thing. Felt this morning God wants to break cycles of sin over your lives. Because it's there to trip us up. It's there to come and hold us bondage in the ways of this world. And the Bible is so clear that it says, lay aside. And what is that? Have you ever seen, what does that mean? You take something and you put it aside. Take it, put it aside. And even as I'm preaching this morning, if there's things in your heart and in your life, take it, give it to Jesus. It's actually, that's why Jesus came. All of us, were, that day, we realized on a day, I did, and so many here, realized in a moment, on a day, I am full of sin. I am in the kingdom of darkness, in a sense. Not in a sense, totally. I'm in this world. But Jesus came, broke into my life, forgave me of all my sins, all my wrongdoings. And even still today, still working in my heart to convict me of those things. Little motives, little thoughts, things that so easily trip up my race that I'm trying to run. So this morning, if you are bound in sin, whatever that is, trust God this morning to break free from the sin. Even now, I just sense, can we close our eyes quickly? Just on this topic, I just want to follow what the Lord, what I'm sensing God's doing. Just as our eyes are closed, in James 5 verse 16 it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. So this morning, with every eye just closed, I just want to give us an opportunity. If you're bound in sin, if you're bound with something and you know your heart's pounding in your flesh because you know right now God is talking to you, you know that there's something in you that that's stopping you from having that personal relationship with Jesus, that you know him, that one day when you stand in front of him, you go, that's my Lord, that's my Savior, that's my closest friend. We sang that song, lover of my soul, my closest friend. Is that you this morning? Do you know him like that? Or are you bound in sin? Are you weighed down this morning by things of this world? Jesus wants to come and set you free completely. And if that's you, just give it to him right now. See yourself taking that sin and just give it to him. Lay it aside. Put it aside. Jesus, I take this. It's too much for me to bear. I know I've wronged you, Lord. I know I've ultimately sinned against you, God. I want this morning you to come and wash me again as clean, as white as snow. Take this sin away from me as far as the east is from the west, Lord Jesus. Take it away, God. I lay it aside. I don't want to be under the yoke of slavery anymore. But I want to be full of you, Holy Spirit. Full of you. Come, Lord. Amen. I want to encourage you, if that was you this morning, do you want to get hold of Mike or Uncle Henry? Please do. Bible says as we confess our sins one to another, something the devil always wants to do, he wants us to keep things in the dark. Because that's where he's got the power. No one's going to look at you with any shock or horror or shame or guilt. No. Jesus came to set us free, to give us life. And it's in this that we'll see now, even as we go further, how we run our race, is these are the moments when we come together, bringing our things to one another and say, hey, I'm struggling with pornography. Can you help me? Hey, I'm struggling with this. Hey, I'm struggling with that. Can you come and help me? Because I can't do it on my own. Because we're not made to do things on our own. Amen? Amen? I really felt that it was a moment in the Lord. So don't, I often say this, don't miss moments in God. He gives it to us. He's full of grace, full of mercy, full of goodness. So step into that. Connect with Mike, with Uncle Henry, or some of the leaders, and just be bold. Be bold. Because the devil will want to keep that secret. Don't give him that opportunity. Open up your heart wide to them. In Galatians 5, verse 7, it says, and again, how do we run this race? But Galatians 5, verse 7, Paul writing to the Galatians, and he says to them, hey, guys, you were running so well. You can actually read it there. You were running so well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? So there's moments where we start running this race, and we're running it, but something can hinder us. What are those hindrances? And just in preparing this morning, I felt one of the hindrances for us here in Azerfontein is this thing hindering us from the truth. So I don't know if you've guys heard this term, but often we speak about this term winds of doctrine or winds of teachings, teachings that come through and it sweeps through the church and it sweeps through. You can look on it on the internet, you go onto Facebook and you'll see just things popping the whole time. And these are things that can hinder us from running our race. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 to 4, this is a scripture of what I can see a large portion of the church worldwide is like in the moment. And I want us to read this quickly. And having that, what is hindering you from running your race in mind? It says, for the time is coming. And I actually think we are in that, this time is coming. We are living in that time right now. For the time is coming. They wrote 2,000 years ago. We are now living in that time that has come. The time has come, let's read it like that, when people will not endure sound teaching. They won't endure it. People will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, their own desires, their own sinful natures. How can I find someone to tell me what I need to know to live the life I want to live? That's that. I don't want to break free from this. So how do I find someone? Because I can guarantee you there's someone out there that will preach exactly what you need to hear to live the way you want to live. I can guarantee you. 100%. YouTube, Facebook, the devil has opened up ways for winds of doctrines, teachings to come through for people to be led away. And what does the Bible say? It's hindering you from running your race. You're being tripped up. Stop it. Stop listening to YouTube preachers. Stop listening to Facebook wannabes. Who are they following? And who's following them? Look at men who have laid down their lives for the sheep, who you can go into their homes. You see the way they live. You see the way they are with their wives. You see the way they are with their children. You see the way that they are not about anything else but the kingdom of God and those that the Lord has entrusted to them. Follow them. Listen to them. Hear their teachings, because those are men you can trust. Who are those out there on YouTube and Facebook? Who are they? But the devil, one thing about the devil, he's not lazy. Maybe two things. And he is smart. He is smart. But his schemes will not prevail if we find ourselves running our race in Jesus, the way that God wants it to be. And if we live our lives that way, we are safe in the Lord. Stop listening to outside voices, because that will hinder you from running your race. Personally, I've been in Joshua now for 22 years. I think it was about 18 years ago, Andrew made a call and just said, hey guys, there was a dream. Someone came and we saw the church getting flung upside down and listening to outside voices and stuff. You know, there was this prophetic word that came through, and that was that time where this whole hyper grace thing came through the church about, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. Jesus is going to forgive you. There's truth always in a lie from the devil. He's the father of lies, and he doesn't say it like that. It comes with a little bit of a sweetness that looks good. And that time, I made a decision for me, saying, Lord, I will only listen to those who I know that you've placed over me. Who are those devoted to apostolic teaching? Who are those that you've placed over me? And I've made that choice in my life, and it saved me. And then I ask them, hey, who are you listening to? And then I listen to those guys that they're listening to. You know, so the guys like John Piper, guys like, I'm just got John Piper because I thought about him this morning, but those are the guys that I would go and I would first find out before I listen to any outside voice, is this guy okay? Because I trust those that the Lord has put over me. Don't let the winds of doctrine trip you up from running your race. Amen. Okay. Secondly, so I'm going to look at, let me just see my time. I'm under strict instructions to not to go over time. I'm just joking. I'm not joking. So two more. Actually, three more. And this is where I wanted to break it up. There's three more. The three more is look to Jesus by faith and together. So if we look, go back to Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it said, sorry, where's my water? Can I just quickly? Is it good so far? Okay, so Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, so verse 1 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We looked at that. And verse 2 says, looking to Jesus. The other way you want to run your race is keep on looking at Jesus. Keep on looking at Jesus. He is the one that we follow. He is our example. He is our everything. And yes, he has given the Pauls and the Peters and the Andrews and the Mikes and the Henrys and the leaders, because he's put those leaders in place that we follow. But ultimately, we follow Jesus as they follow Jesus. We might follow men in this world right now, but make sure they're following Jesus. I've asked Andrew on several times, are you still following Jesus, bro? Because I'm following you. So you better follow Jesus, because if you don't follow Jesus, what am I following? That's a very good question to ask those over you. Ask them. Ask them, are you following Jesus? If you've got a leader, don't just presume. Don't assume. That's why it's so important what church you join. The church you join is probably one of the most important things after the person you marry. Because that will determine your eternity. It could. Join the wrong church, and they go this way, and Jesus is there, and he goes, well, you're not with me, you're with them, but Lord, I don't know how that's going to work out on that last day. Make sure that you follow those that follow Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is our example. Become like him. Wait for him. Live by the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit. Don't just do your own thing. The Bible says we fix our mind on things above and not beneath. We don't look with earthly things and go, we go, Lord, how do we follow you? Jesus, I'm following you daily. The Bible even speaks about Moses, and he says he was careful to follow the Lord. Today's age, we're just like, hey, I'm following Jesus. Like, be careful to follow the Lord. Find him in the Scriptures. Find him in your prayer life. Devote yourself to the things that he says you need to devote yourself. Because what's going to happen then? You're following him and not something else. He is our everything. He is our example. He will lead us into eternal life. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow him. I love this scripture in Psalm 141. It says, in verse 8, it says, but my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Fixed on you. Have you fixed your eyes on Jesus? Like, I know when I saw my wife for the first time, I was fixed on her. My eyes didn't move. She was moving. I was moving, but I was fixing my eyes on her. That's what it is. Husbands, when last were your eyes fixed on your wife? Don't know where that came from. If that's for someone, take it, use it, don't use it. Use it, trust me, use it. It might be good for you. Psalm 25, verse 15 says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet in a snare." It's forever on the Lord. I love Him. He's my everything. He's my everything. My eyes are fixed on Him. Jesus, You are the giver of life, lover of my soul. I will never, never let You go, Lord. Nate, good song choice, bro. Corinthians 9, verse 25 to 27. Let's read this together. And this is part of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because when we do this, Jesus actually said it. He said, "Follow me. Those who want to follow me must deny themselves, lay down your life. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, like, there won't be any life." And that's what Jesus is saying. And if you look at this scripture, it says every athlete. So by now, you realize you're an athlete. Okay, so that every athlete, that's you. Okay, no matter your form, your physical appearance, or what it is, you are an athlete. Take it this morning. Say, yeah, I feel good. Okay, I'm an athlete. Okay, so every athlete, that's me, exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, these guys, it says. But we are doing it for an imperishable wreath. We are athletes on a race for something that's not going to fade away. Eternity. That's our prize. I think Russell or someone was here lately that said that's the prize. That's what we're running towards, is eternity. That's what we're going for as athletes. So don't just run aimlessly. Have you seen guys run aimlessly? What does that look like? I'm not going to do it because I'm going to knock things over. But aimlessly. There's no purpose. There's no meaning. You get to the end of the race, it was aimless. It was worthless. It was rather go to the beach. Much better than running aimlessly. So I do not box as one beating the air. It's pointless, Paul writes. Next verse, it says, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching I disqualify myself." So as athletes, as those who are in the race of, we've got a discipline. I look at Nate at the moment. Him and I have got this thing. We don't eat sugar at the moment. It's for two different reasons. I don't eat sugar for a certain reason. He doesn't eat sugar because he's same. But he's, and you know how much discipline it's taken? It's so hard, especially when you go to a bakery up the road and you see little pasta donatas and you go like, yo, how do I not eat that? It's discipline. We beat our bodies. But as Christians, how do we do that? We discipline ourselves. My quiet time is a non-negotiable for me. I'll wake up, even if it is at 4 o'clock, to spend time with the one, the lover of my soul. It's discipline at sometimes, but it's a joy. I beat my body. I deny myself those things in this world that so easily can just cripple me up. How are you with that? You just, hey, this is nice, I'm just going to do it. No, we don't live our lives like that. We're on this race to win a prize, and we want to finish the prize as we follow Jesus. Thirdly, we run this race by faith. Bible says it's impossible, impossible to please the Lord, to please God without faith. Without faith, it's nothing. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. I put my eyes on that. I walk by faith, not by what I see by sight. We've just voted. Who cares? I care. So hear what I'm saying, what I'm not saying. Voting is important. But we don't look at the outcome because we know that whoever's going to be in charge of this country is set there by God. It's a scary thought. God puts leadership into place. So I don't look in the natural. I go, God, what are you doing at the moment? And how do I live and direct my life in such a way by faith? Although I look around and I'm worried and I'm like, what is going to happen? It's by faith that I run my race. Not being hindered by the things of this world or the things that come in that we see. Because those things will grip our hearts full of fear. It will grip our hearts. God hasn't come to give us fear, but of life and life, even in the midst of a country that might be going who knows where. But God. But God. But God. And I can tell you, I've just come back from America. For those people, but God. But God. No matter where you go in the world, it's the same thing. It's one devil. It's got just different ways of ruling in this world at the moment. So we don't look at the things of this world. By faith, we take hold of what Jesus has said, told us to do, and we run our race with perseverance, with endurance, with everything we have, with zeal. We lay our lives down, and we say, God, I'm running till the end, because that's what it's important. That's what it's about. And I love this, Hebrews 10, verse 39. But we, that's us, athletes. Remember, we are athletes, okay? But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. We are those. We don't shrink back. We're not going to go back. We're not going to step back. Once we put our hand to the plow, once we've joined, once we're running this race, we're in it to win it. Yo, I'm sure someone should put that on a t-shirt, eh? In it to win it, okay? Lastly, and I want to end with this. And I think this is probably one of the most important things. You know why I say this? Because if you look at Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, what we see in the Bible, how to build church. There's four things that is mentioned in there. Devotion to teachings, the right teachings, not the teachings of this world, the winds of doctrines, but those that God has put over us apostolically, because they've got a different grace to know how to build church and lead people into everything God wants them to do. It says we devote ourselves to those teachings. We devote ourselves to what we did this weekend, to fellowship, to being together. That's why it's not just a little braai or a pasta evening or this or that. It's fellowship. There's a spiritual dynamic that happens when we get together, when we do this and we're devoted to it and we say, I'm in, yes. You know, are you in? Were you here this weekend? Are you in? Yes, I'm here. I'm doing it. I'm together with the body of Christ. That's what we build ourselves on. And then it was to breaking of bread and to the prayers. And that's what we do, those four things. And how you run your race together with the saints that the Lord has put around you matters. Because your race matters to the person next to you. Do you know the way that you run your race will influence the person next to you? And I'll show you now in the scripture what that means. Because the way you run your race will either hinder others or bring them along on this race that we're all part of. Because what does the Bible say? We are a body. Some of us have got, you know, but we are body. I'm not sorry, I was going to joke now, but let's just keep it. I'm almost done. We are body, and together we run this race. It's not a solo sport. Christianity is not a solo sport. And if you need to know more about that, come chat to me. But it's God designed it that it's us. Bible says we are field, we are house, we are body. Together we move forward. Together we run our race. And Ephesians 4, verse 11 till 16. Actually, can we just go to... No, let's read the whole thing. It's fine. So it says, and he gave, and we've heard this, that Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to do what? To equip the saints. Who are the saints? We are the saints. He's equipping us to do what? The work of the ministry. It's not up to Mike and Uncle Henry and the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers to do the work of the ministry. It's up to you. It's your race. Run your race. You do the work of the ministry. What does that mean? You pray. You lead people to the Lord. You baptize people. You make disciples. That's what Jesus said we must do. That is, how are you going to do it? Be equipped. These guys have been gifted and built up from the Lord, given to you as a gift to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It's not up to me. I'm just here training you guys. You better do it. Otherwise, God's going to tell me to do it, and I will do it, but he wants you to do it. Why? It's your race. Run your race. Okay, it goes on and it says, work of the ministry for the building up of the saints until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. We need to mature to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what I'm wanting to say. So that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. It's coming through again. That's what it is. It's building together. So that these winds that do come through, or the waves, or these times that come through that we live in, it won't toss us. We won't get swayed. We won't fall. But we mature. No longer as Christians. We're solid in the Lord, knowing what He wants us to do. We're running our race. And the craftiness and deceitful schemes of human cunningness. Next scripture, next verse. Says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Has someone spoken the truth in love with you recently? We do that. Why? Not because we're cleverer. We want to see you become everything that you need to be in Jesus. So if a Mike or a Henry or a community leader or a deacon says, hey, can we go have a coffee? It's not because of any other reasons. We want to see you go. Here's the truth in love. When you kick your dog and people see you, it's got a negative impact on the way, whatever that is, you know what I mean? Okay, it's like just in love, people will come and correct. Why? So that we can grow up, mature in Jesus. And I'm using that as a funny example, but I want to say that's a serious moment. It's what the guys, what we do. I've had many people, even that man sitting there, speak truth in love to my heart. And it has adjusted and shifted the way that I'm running my race. And I thank God for that. Because I've got blind spots. I don't trust myself. I don't. Because my heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. I only want to look after myself, if I'm very honest. And if you're very honest, you'll say the same thing. That's why we need each other. Together, we need to run our race. And then just ending off of that scripture, it says, so Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of this body, which is us, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. We are those joints. We are equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up. As each part does its work properly, you have got a special part to play here to make the body work. Your part, your race matters, and you can't do it on your own. It's by us together we run this race, and we find Jesus, and we follow Him. What is God saying to us here? In Azefontein. Find that together and let's run this race so that we can be those that stand in front of Him one day and say, God, I've run my race. I fought this fight. And what was the last one? That's it. What is it? Kept the faith. Thank you. My brain freezed up there for a second. Your race matters. How you live your life matters. And what you do matters. And I want to encourage you guys, don't look at the natural. Don't look at just this. I believe what Uncle Henry and Mike is picking up. God is going to be moving out. Langebon, Darling, the crew sitting here. We've got guys from Mamre. And not just here, to the ends of the world. Jesus said, go, make disciples. Run your race. Get alongside your leaders. Ask them. Say, hey, how am I doing in running my race? If you ask that question, that's a scary question to ask. And be prepared for the answer. Okay? Because everybody around you can see how you run your race. Just so that you know. Everybody can see it. It's not there to judge. It's there to go, come on, run your race. Run your race. because each one of us has got a race to run. Amen? Amen. Can we close our eyes quickly? Just want to pray for us. Mike, is there something you want to add? Sorry. Good. Maybe I did say this earlier, and I know we had a moment where we did lay aside sin and weight and things that so easily entangle us, the things of this world that creep into our heart and maybe shift us. And maybe this morning, as I've been speaking and just talking about the race of life, and you're going, I don't even know if I'm on this race yet. I might have started the race of life because I was born, but I don't think I've started the race of life for eternity. And in a sense, you have, because the Bible is very clear that one day we're going to stand in front of Him, and those that Jesus don't know will spend eternity in hell. But those that do know Him will spend eternity with Him in life. And the Bible says that eternity is going to be great. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. We're going to be with Him forever, safe. But are you on that road that leads to eternity? Or are you still caught up in the ways of this world, even in the ways that the way we think, the way maybe just caught up in sin? And you know I'm talking to you because your heart is pounding in your chest. Your palms are sweaty. You know God, the Holy Spirit, is just on you and convicting you. It's not because He doesn't love you. It's because He loves you. He's saying, come to Me, all who are heavy burdened, all who are carrying things of this world, come. I will give you rest. I will take those things. Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, in Romans 5, just at the right time, while we were still sinners, while we were still against Him, while we were enemies of Him, He died on the cross for us. And He's taken everything on Him so that we can live a life full of Him. And if that's you this morning, if you're going, Borant, I want to start this race. I want to run this race. I've been running a race, but it's not the one that leads to life and eternity. And can you pray with me this morning? And it's not to embarrass you. It's not to shame you in any moment, in any sense. The Bible actually says that angels stop and they all stand with anticipation and going, let one return to You, Jesus. And they're actually ready to celebrate when one soul returns to Jesus. So if that's you this morning, I want to ask you, be bold and courageous. Do you want to just slip up your hand and say, that's me. I want to come back. I want to run this race. I want to start my race this morning. I don't know everybody here, so I do want to take this opportunity. And don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment, because God loves you. God loves you. So if that's you this morning, just say, hey, that's me. Don't be ashamed. We've all done it. Bible says, unless you are born again, you will not enter into eternal life. And there's a moment where you say, I want to be born again. I need my spirit to become alive in Jesus, because at the moment it's dead. And I'm just doing my own thing, and there's a path of destruction. I'm not going to call you out, and every eye is closed, people are praying. But if that's you this morning, don't you just want to show me quickly? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand, sir. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you. And Jesus knows. And I'll connect with you guys afterwards. I want to ask you at the end, don't you want to please come to me? And Micah will be here too, and one or two ladies. And we'll pray with you guys. And just start this journey. Run your race. Can we just celebrate with that? That's amazing, eh? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's amazing. Just those that did raise their hands, well done. Well done. I know in today's age, it's a big thing. We don't take that for granted. Well done. Then for us as Christians, are you running your race? This morning I'm standing up for these things. I want to say, God, I want to run my race by faith. I want to run it together. I want to be part of what you're doing. And if that is you, don't you want to stand with me? And then I'd love to pray for us and just go, let's run this race. Is that okay, Mike? Yeah. If that's you, if you don't want to stand, don't stand. If you're running your race perfectly, that's up to you. That's good. No judgment. Seriously. I'm not even joking, like really. But if that is you this morning, say, God, help me. I want to run my race by faith. I want to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. And I want to run this race full of him and live my life that one day when I stand in front of him, God, I want to say, well done. That's all cool. Come, let's raise our hands. Lord Jesus, we this morning, God, want to come before you as your people, Lord. We want to say thank you, Lord, that you are building in us, God, that you are taking us from one degree of glory to the next, God, that we, even today, God, as we leave this place, we are more like Jesus than what we are when we arrived here, God. And thank you for what you are doing here, Lord. Father, but this morning, we want to commit our lives again afresh, saying, Jesus, we want to run our race, that it will honor you, God, that we fix our eyes on Jesus. We give ourselves again this morning to one another, Lord. Together, we run this race, God. We are united. We want to be of those that Jesus prayed for and said, Jesus, God, make them one as you and I are one, God. I want to pray that you will make us one. Make us one, Lord, as you and your Father are one, Lord. And that as we run our race, that we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lovely. Thank you so much, Barnes. And yeah, just for those who did raise their hands, it's an incredible privilege, actually. And we want to welcome you. So please come and speak to myself and Barnes, and we'll have some others up here as well. I'd love to pray with you. I often like to just personally for myself have a little takeaway after a preach like this. So I think there's many things that we could take away. The one thing I did feel like the Lord was just highlighting for us is, you know, that question that Barnett asked, how am I running my race? Do you have someone actually next to you accountably going, you know, this area you might be tripping up, or you actually could be going faster, but you're dragging. You're dragging this, and have actually someone come alongside you and help with that. And I want to encourage us with that, is that if that's something that you can't say that you have, and there's something of that you want, I want to say that we are open to that, man. And so if that is you, and you don't know who to go to, then just come to one of us, and we will put you in touch with who we think best, or journey that with you ourselves. And a good one to ask ourselves personally is like, what does that race even look like? What do I believe that you've put in me, God? Am I a sprinter? Am I a long distance? Am I, you know, what part of this? Am I the guy that hands the baton? Am I the guy running with the baton, you know? And so what does that race look like for each and every one of us? I don't want to add any more to that. I think that was beautiful. Thanks, Barry. Thanks all the guys that have come across and just built into us. It's incredible to actually initiate this. It was initiated by God, actually, long before we did this. This is his idea of it, and so we want to give ourselves to it. So thank you for making an effort for the weekend and being here. I think it was a key building block for us, and I'm excited for the future. So love you guys. Have an incredible, incredible Sunday. If you'd like to join our midweek meetings, we have, I don't even want to call it a meeting. We gather during the week, and we do other things together as well. We do life together. Please get in touch with us with regards to that, and we can also add you to the group so you know what's happening. Love you guys, have a good Sunday, and we'll catch you soon. Welcome to stay for coffee and tea and fellowship, all the rest.